If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now, go.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In a week where Alex Carey fell into a swimming pool in a desperate attempt to invoke the spirit of Wade, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
We were just sitting around waiting to go on the bus and just walked straight into the pool. So it's very funny. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, actually.
That was Pat Cummins there talking about Alex Carey's attempt at slapstick comedy that seemed to go over well. You're here with Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. And yes, Alex Carey tumbling into a pool. What do we think about that?
Well, I wasn't aware until just this minute that it was when they were on their way somewhere. I thought that they were coming home from somewhere and, you know, he'd go up to his room, have a shower. But no, they were actually heading out on the bus. That makes it even better.
Yeah. So do you think
he had a packed lunch in his backpack. Everything got wet.
Carey actually had some thoughts on this himself. He said, I've always wanted to have signs in the crowd to have my name on them, but probably didn't expect it would be about falling in a pool. I still lay there at nighttime, can't really describe what happened. Sounds like this might haunt Carey forever, this tumble into the swimming
Hopefully
pool.
Not too long. You need to practice some mindfulness as you're lying there.
Yes, definitely. At night.
The spirit of Wade, though, I'm pretty sure that involves, you know, Maddie Wade's spirit, Carey swearing more than usual, perhaps, which also may be accurate when you're falling into a pool.
Yes,
probably a bit of swearing involved.
Yes. So, entertaining stuff from Alex Carey. I think he knows that if you can, you know, make your teammates laugh, then, you know, you're more likely to be stuck with it as the test series goes on.
Yeah, it certainly builds teamwork. It's a very good idea to make people laugh. And I did particularly like the comments on Twitter. Is peripheral vision important for a wicketkeeper? That was fantastic.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
So lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the ongoing World Cup that's taking place over in New Zealand.
And it is the best tournament ever.
It's fantastic.
Everyone's very high on it, and rightly so.
Yes. So Australia are cruising along. They're undefeated.
They're the most boring team in the comp.
By far the most boring team. They've played five games. They've won five games. And there have been a couple of games that if you look at the scorecard, you think, oh, that's a little bit tight. Mm. But even in those, they kind of seem to have it more or less under complete control the entire time. They never seem to be really panicking.
That's right. I mean, even when then they often do lose a few early wickets, it doesn't even matter. They just bat so deep.
Yeah. So they've got, you know, Healy. So they can, you know, Healy and Haynes up the top. Then Lanning and Perry, and like you get rid of those four, you've still got Beth Mooney to deal with. G goes, then it's McGrath and Ash Gardner.
Yeah.
It's just relentless batting lineup. And, you know, in batting terms, even if you get through that top seven, 7, the bowlers can still bat a little bit, not terribly. And, of course, they're very handy with the ball as well, the bowlers.
Yeah, so they've got a very good bottom order. But we've got full members of the ICC, associate members, affiliate members. It feels like we need an additional category now for Australia, like kind of above.
The superhuman members.
Yeah, they're so far ahead of the pack. Yep. You know, maybe they should, instead of being full, maybe they could be the overflowing members or something like that. They're incredible.
Well, the one team that's probably got the best chance of competing with them is South Africa, because the South Africa are also undefeated. They've played 4 matches and won 4, and they will be meeting Australia on Tuesday, which should be a fantastic game. I think that's the one I'm most looking forward to.
Well, after all these close games, it'll probably end up being a walkover one way or the other.
Hopefully not. Hopefully it'll be super tight. And of course, we're not the only ones interested in watching South Africa play.
Yes, of course. So the South African men are training up at Centurion, and about a couple of days ago, the players kind of vanished from the field as they were in the middle of their training, and we heard reports that they'd gone back to the dressing room, and then the cheering started, and that was in the middle of the women beating New Zealand.
Yes,
so they were in there watching, which is just adorable.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably delighted to see a South African side in a World Cup winning close matches. It's probably completely alien to them, so they're very good at that. But yeah, just apart from Australia and South Africa, everybody else is just having this incredibly close tournament. All these matches going down to the last over. We've got, you know, West Indies, they defended 6 for 225 against England, bowled them out for 218. Bangladesh beat Pakistan by 9 runs. That was their first ever World Cup win.
Yeah, even the low-scoring matches are incredibly exciting.
Yeah, they've all been really great. So, as you mentioned, South Africa had 2 tight games against England and New Zealand, where they both, you know, won with 2 or 3 wickets to spare in the final over. And Pakistan almost beat South Africa. This is what's so great. South Africa, you know, bowled them out 6 runs short of victory. And West Indies defended 140 against Bangladesh. And then today, as we record this, England just scraped home against New Zealand. There's so many good games in this tournament.
That's right. Today, New Zealand almost bowled England out, chasing a low total, but Brunt somehow tonked the winning runs. Oh, Shrubsole, that's right. And they were 9 wickets down. It was incredibly exciting.
So, yes, it's been a fantastic tournament, and it's going to be sad when it's all over.
Yeah.
But we've still got like a week and some semi-finals to go.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
So our obligatory ad in the centre of our podcast today is on where to listen to the Women's World Cup. So last week I was out on a bike ride and I couldn't find it on the Cricket Australia feed. And it turns out that if you download the SEN app, they have the match broadcast in all its glory. SENZ, that is their particular channel on their app and their website. I'm not sure how many countries that works in, but if you need another feed, Guerrilla Cricket South Africa, Guerrilla Cricket SA are also covering the South African matches of the Women's World Cup.
And if you're very lucky, you might actually get to hear Kat Jones commentating on the occasional match there, if you're very lucky.
I don't think I'm commentating next week because unfortunately I'm working, which is terrible, on the Tuesday. So they're playing on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
Head to 1WSR.com. That's number 1WSR.com for that commentary for Guerrilla Cricket, or at Guerrilla SA on Twitter. And they're also broadcasting, I think, the Bangladesh men's tour of South Africa as well. So some cricket there.
Fantastic.
When's the short ball coming?
Short ball obviously plays a huge part.
Get yourself to play the short ball. The worst thing to do,
play the short ball.
Or you're playing the short ball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playing the short ball.
Thank you very much, Kevin Peterson. And the short ball is, of course, the segment in which we discuss one ball out of a recent match and go into great depth about it. And which ball have we got this time, Kat?
Well, India and Sri Lanka have been playing a series in India, as they do every year, I think, or maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
They've played 3 T20s, one by India, and 2 tests, one by India.
Yep.
However, we do have the description of one particular ball from the opening overs from the India-Sri Lanka test match.
Mm.
So I'll read you the CricBuzz description, which says, "What happened there? So much drama in one ball. It's a nip backer and Mayank is caught in the crease. Struck on the pad and there's a confident LBW appeal. But umpire Anil Chowdhury is not convinced. He shakes his head. Mayank sees the ball rolling toward cover and he starts running. Rohit is not interested and by the time he was sent back, Jayak Wickrama ran around from point and threw the ball to Dick Weller, the keeper. But Sri Lanka seems to have wanted an LBW review since it was also a run out. It was an umpire referral first and Fernando had overstepped. But can you be out, run out on a no ball? And that's a decision referred first, so Mayank walks back cheaply."
Yes, so that's a very, very intense delivery. I'm beginning to think that may be too long for a short ball.
Yeah, let's abandon
let's
it.
Let's abandon
then.
That okay. completely.
This is Pat Cummins, this is Australia, absolutely at their best, the perfect delivery.
All right, this is Pat Chat. This is where we talk about Pat Cummins and any Australian team members who might want to be dragged along in his wake.
Trailing along behind you,
yes.
Of course.
So Pat Cummins, of course, everything was going really well for the Australian captain for the first 3 days of the second test of this Pakistan v Australia series. They batted and made lots and lots of runs. And
You're judging things going well as being how much did Pat annoy the commentators, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. So he didn't declare until the third day. That drove them absolutely crazy. They weren't happy at all with that. And then later on after they bowled out Pakistan super cheaply, refused to enforce the follow-on. So he got everybody very annoyed.
I think the batter... It was a road. And if you were a batter captain like, Steve Smith, you probably would have gone, as soon as the top order's out, let's declare these bottom order doesn't need a bat. But, of course, Pat being a bowler captain just goes, nah, don't a bowl on that road. Fantastic.
Had absolutely no interest on bowling on that. And until it looked as if it might have eased up a little bit. So he thought, we'll have a go. And for that third day, it appeared as if it did. They got some reverse swing.
Well, it's fantastic if he's actually batting as a tail end. It's perfect. He can tell when it starts to get harder. Yep. And he goes, I think I'll have a bowl on this.
Yes. And then the last couple of days, things didn't go quite as well for Pat. Pakistan managed to consolidate and they concentrated a little bit harder and ended up batting out the last 2 days and saving the test. So
it could have gone either way. There were a couple of moments where maybe they could have got a breakthrough and then, the top order would have crumbled again. They had a couple of unlucky decisions. But anyway, it's all boding well for the final test.
Yes, the final test starts Monday. Australia have named the same team, so that should be good to see. So things went a little bit astray for Pat as the test rolled on, but his his social media, non-cricket matters, he remained very much on fire, very much in form. So he was, of course, the person who took that Instagram footage of Alex Carey. So he started off before the match started. He started
this
off
is
in
a good start
form.
To a media career. I feel so. You put it on your CV.
Yep, and then he. There's also footage of him during the test. This was during Australia's first innings. The cameras were on some members of the Pakistan crowd, cut to them with a sign saying, Cummins, please declare. And he basically, then it cut back to Cummins in the dressing room and so he must have had one eye on the TV because he basically looked straight down the camera, shook his head, no, not declaring, which was very funny. And how does he know where the camera is?
Incredible.
Is this part of his media training?
I think this is going to be part of his media role when he's applying. For commentary jobs in the future.
Yeah.
Here's my awareness of the camera at all moments.
Yeah, maybe just very telegenic people always know where the camera is. That's part of their superpowered ability. They know where to look straight.
Well, that's
down.
Why they always look good in the photos. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, normal people like you and I, we just get things, photos taken of us at awkward moments when we look terrible.
Yeah, nah, not Pat. And then the other kind of social media moment that I enjoyed was at one point there was something wrong with the pitch down near the crease. So Pat Cummins just took the hammer and just started beating the shit out of the pitch saying work better. I think he was just frustrated with the pitch not breaking up, so he got the hammer out and just started hammering away at it.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I can do attitude from Pat. I like that. When you need to be summoned to the crease, Pat's there. He'll bowl, he'll bat, he'll hammer. The shit. Yep.
Yeah.
He'll do everything. So is Pat Cummins the most viral Australian captain ever?
Well, provided he doesn't do anything wrong, I think we can say that his positive viral content is up there amongst the highest of other Australian captains. Plenty of Australian captains have gone viral for the wrong reasons.
That is true. We did have the most recent captain disappeared because of that reason.
Yeah.
I do think Michael Clarke, of course, was quite viral, sometimes for good, sometimes bad. I do remember him.
It's pretty positive.
Yeah, but he did spend an entire Sydney to Hobart yacht race being seasick one time with the cameras on him. So there's different kinds of social media virality. I think
if only he'd looked up mid-vomit and smiled at the cameras, it could have gone differently for Michael
Could
Clarke.
Have. Poor old pup. I think the only person in the Australian team who's matching Cummins' lead in terms of social media was, of course, Marnus Labuschagne.
Mm. Did he create a pitch in his hotel room?
No, he didn't. He ran himself out for a duck, famously, and then the cameras cut to him in the dressing room and he was just the sad saddest little panda in the world, just staring disconsolately into his laptop.
Well, I feel like he must know where the cameras are too. You don't want to be grinning when the camera cuts to you after you've been run out for a duck, do you?
Definitely not.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
Here we are in the Moeller Award for underappreciated or even appreciated acts of cricket during the week that we want to talk about. And I've got the first one here, and I'd like to nominate Rachel Haynes. She's currently top of the Women's World Cup rankings for the most – well, she's actually got the highest score, 130, and also the most runs for the tournament so far. And until this week, she was also, amazingly, still top of the top run scorers for the WNCL, despite only playing three matches at the start of the season and then, of course, going off to national duties. How on earth – I mean, she's not top anymore because we've had 8 or 9 rounds – but how did she stay top after? It was quite incredible. So she's still fifth.
I'm disappointed she didn't fly back from New Zealand, score a century to keep a top spot, then fly back over there to resume proceedings back at the World Cup.
Well, New South Wales kind of need her because they're struggling to get into the finals. I think they'll make it. But quite incredible. And Michaela Hinckley, of course, is at the top of the WNCL runs. She's on 299. She's from Queensland. And her highest score is 121 not out, which she got in the match versus Western Australia last week, and I was calling that match for Cricket Australia, and we were very aware that the families were listening in, because not everyone can travel to these matches because of COVID. And we then mentioned that and got a message from Michaela Hinckley's mum that she was on the edge of her seat. So that was very good fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I've got a nomination, which is Carlos Brathwaite, and he claimed that England were being disrespectful because they refused to shake hands as early in the test as Carlos would have liked them to. Instead, they basically just kept bowling and bowling, trying to get the last West Indies wicket.
Did he have places to be?
I guess so, yeah. So they bowled until there were, more wickets to take than balls remaining, and then they finally started shaking hands at that point. And Brathwaite said, no, England wouldn't have waited so long to accept a draw if they'd been playing Australia, so this is disrespectful to the West Indies. And there were a few England journalists who got their hackles up about this. They basically said, if England were just trying to win the match, is that disrespectful? And, of course, the answer to that is yes. And that's why they didn't do it in the Ashes, right?
They didn't try and win at all.
Yes.
And it's just like the England women now. They're not really trying to win the World Cup either, right?
They're doing it despite themselves at the moment.
Anyway, England kept bowling. They probably needed the bowling practice.
I guess so. Mm. In a way, they did show respect. They could have, even when there were more wickets to take than balls remaining, they could have been bowling deliberate no balls and going for the run out. That would have been disrespectful, I think.
That would have been great, though.
Yeah, it would have been. Yes.
Oh, I've got another one here. It's Nat Siver. And she was caught at slip in the match that was played against South Africa when England played South Africa. She was trying to do a pull shot and she totally missed the ball, and then it hit her on the hip. And instead of just dribbling away, it then somehow ricocheted, sadly for her, ricocheted off her hip, up off the top of or the back of her bat, and then just lobbed directly to Lizelle Lee at first slip. Yes. So she was out.
Yeah, it was very comical. It looked as if she somehow the first time you saw it, it looked as if she pulled the ball all the way around behind herself to first slip, which is not what happened, but that's what it looked like. It looked like she
kind of looked like she hit it twice,
which
was impossible as well.
Yeah.
So it was a glorious, slightly sad effort for poor Nat Siver.
Yes. We've also got Rob Key. Rob Key is commentating over in the Pakistan-Australia Test Series, and he decided that he'd do the old Tony Gregg move of demonstrating how wide the cracks were in the pitch. But of course, Rob Key can't stick a key in the pitch. That would be very awkward for him. Probably have to
be confusing on commentary.
I think so. Yeah.
Someone put Rob Key in the crack?
Exactly.
What happened?
Yeah. So he went a bit more high tech than that. He stuck his AirPods into the pitch, which was a little bit of a fraught thing to do. I think.
I think it's dangerous because when you have AirPods, you're always on the verge of losing them, right? If you take them out of your ears, they're basically at risk of being dropped and lost and gone. And I've done that more than once. So
you got to go to your Find My device.
Yeah, that's right.
That,
exactly. Yeah. So if there's a loud alarm from the crease, halfway through the match, we know Rob Key's pressed the Find My AirPod on his iPhone.
Yeah.
I've also I've got one here from let's see who I'm nominating here. Stuart Broad. Mm-hmm. So Stuart Broad was
perennial favourite in the Muller
Awards. That's right. And this is not really cricket related to his match, but
because he's not needed in the West Indies.
That's right. So Broad is tweeting about the change to the laws of cricket that we've talked about before. And he mentioned the Mankad. So the Mankad is no longer unfair and is now a legitimate dismissal. Hasn't it always been a legitimate dismissal? And whether it's unfair is subjective? I think it's unfair. So now okay, we thought he was going the other way. But anyway, I think it's unfair and wouldn't consider it. As in my opinion, dismissing a batter is about skill and the Mankad requires zero skill. This is, I mean, Broad's going to be on commentary at some point. This is just going to be forever.
Yeah.
He'll be banging on about this, right?
Yeah, it's very good. It's, I mean, this is very, very much an England thing. I think England are definitely the most adamant anti-Mankad team out there.
They're the last bastion of the no Mankad.
Yeah. So there was a point in that, I think it was South Africa-England game where South Africa needed just a few runs in the last over. And I was, I was busily tweeting out, back up as far as you have to. They do not Mankad. So I'm perfectly happy for England to adopt this stance because it gives every other team an advantage over them.
It would be very funny if anyone takes advantage of that, the slightest advantage. So I think that's really terrific.
Yep. I've got another one here. I've got Simon Kadich in commentary. Again, this is Pakistan v Australia. And he came out and said, Steve Smith doesn't drop those. And this was to a catch that was almost identical to one that he dropped less than 24 hours earlier.
He does drop those occasionally.
Yes. And it was off the exact same batter and the exact same bowler. So this was just a little bit of Simon Kadich saying a cliche without actually thinking about what the words mean.
Yes.
And then there was a little bit of Peter Lawler on Twitter. So a few people made fun of Simon Kadich for saying this, myself included, put my hand up. Peter Lawler didn't have a go at me, but he did have a go at a couple of other people and basically sprang to Kadich's defence. He said, it's really hot and it's hard work commentating, as we know.
Yes.
And he just like, you shouldn't be making fun of it. He just said the wrong thing. And I think it would have been better if Peter Lawler came out and said, Simon Kadich doesn't cliche those.
That would have been much clever, much more meta.
Yeah.
What a missed opportunity.
Yes.
Lawler's dropped that.
He has. Yeah. Yep, he spilled it.
Yep. He spilled it.
Spilled an opportunity.
Sure. Well, we also have, this is the last one. We've seemed to have a lot of mullers.
Yeah, last one.
Yep. We also have Saqib Mahmood got his first ever test wicket in the West Indies, right? Mm-hmm. So we thought he did.
Yes.
But he did the classic England trick of overstepping.
Mm.
So no ball on your first wicket.
Yep. So we've had Ben Stokes has done this. Mark Wood has done this. One of the Currans, I think it's Tom, has done this. Could have been Sam. Mm-hmm. At least one Curran has done this. Mason Crane has done this. And now Saqib Mahmood. So it's a tradition. If there's one thing that England players like more than not doing Mankads, it's not taking wickets because they've no-balled somebody. They care not a jot about the line. Their creases mean nothing to them.
Yep. Could not care less.
So that's a pretty epic list of Muller nominees.
That's a packed list.
Who are we going to go with out of this, Kat?
Let's have a look. I mean, I'd love to give it to Stuart Broad.
Broad's got thousands of them.
I think Rachel Haynes. Why don't we give it to Rachel Haynes?
Yeah, let's give it to Rachel Haynes. I don't think Rachel Haynes is ever... She's far too sensible to otherwise get in here for any other...
I'm pretty sure she's top of the runs for Pakistan versus Australia men's as well.
Yeah, she's definitely up
there. She's everywhere.
Yep. All right, congratulations, Rachel Haynes. And that will wrap us up for another week. So you've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter. And also Kat Jones, who is at Cricket Bat Cat on Twitter.
And you can follow us at Can't Bowl Throw, where we tweet and muck around for various games. We usually don't tweet anything serious, but come along and join us there or like us on Facebook. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Social Podcast Network.